Good evening, folks. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
And boy, we've been having a good laugh around here listening to Radio Freemasonry's Comedy Hour. First he is, and then he isn't. Then he was, then he wasn't. And then he can't be, and then there he goes again. My goodness. He started out telling us that Freemasonry is not racist, that they want to form a brotherhood of man, and then he read a letter that proved everything that I've been teaching you is absolutely correct, 100% right. And then, I'll tell you folks, I've been rolling around here on the floor, and I had to go get Carolyn so she could hear it too, and she's been rolling around on the floor, and we've ordered a tape, and we're gonna play it again for you sometime in the future, just in case you missed it. I think that Radio Freemasonry should be on television on Saturday night. I really do. It's just about the most humorous thing that I've heard ever in my life. Well, today was the last day of our offering, and I got a couple of good newses for you. Newsies. One is that I was mistaken about the seeds, folks. And luckily, I was mistaken on the side that's really good for you. I said one can plants a garden plot 65 feet by 124 feet. Well, folks, I was wrong. One can, which is actually four small cans, nitrogen-packed, enamel-coated cans, will plant four times that much. Four times that much. So you're getting a better deal than you thought you were getting, and what you thought you were getting was a real good deal. So we're all making out on this one. What you're going to get is four cans instead of one big can, and these four cans will plant a little more than a whole acre. And that's about four times more than 65 feet by 124 feet. So we're all making out on this one, folks, much more than we dreamed we were. And if you haven't ordered it yet, I suggest that you do, because we're going to leave the seeds open because it's very popular. And now that you know that it'll plant four times more than what I told you it would plant, those of you who may not have jumped on the bandwagon, you better, because we're only going to hold it open one more week until next Friday. So get the seeds, $48 for listeners, $40 for CADGI members. And, of course, tonight we start a new offering for our food supply. As we go down the ladder, we hope that everybody will fit into their particular slot. And tonight, it's the modular unit. We'll feed one adult for 1 year. One adult for 1 year. Or two adults for 6 months. One adult for 1 year, or two adults for 6 months. And it's 12 cases of dehydrated food. The shipping weight is 265 pounds. The retail price is $1,088. $1,088. For listeners to the hour of the time, $888 for CADGI members, $800. We're getting down to the level now where we can't give you the real steep discounts, but we're still giving you magnificent discounts. That's $200 right off the top for listeners, $288 off the top for CADGI members. Remember, the more you buy always there's more leeway that you can give the people. So as we get down to these lower amounts, we can't give you as much as we were before. But we're giving you more than you can get anywhere else, more food at a cheaper price that will last you longer. So that's 1 year, one adult. 12 cases, shipping weights 265 pounds, retail price is $1,088. For listeners to this broadcast, $888. For CADGI members, $800. It will also feed two people for 6 months, two adults for 6 months. And don't forget the seeds, the garden seeds, folks. That's the deal of the century. I mean, you just can't, if you went to the nursery and bought these seeds, you couldn't even plant the original plot that I gave you, which was 65 by 124 feet, for that price. You would have spent about twice as much. So, go for it, folks, and do it. Okay, now I am going to put out a proposition for those of you who may want to help us out. I have a huge library, but it can be bigger. What I'm going to do is put this library into a trust so that it will always be available for anybody who wants to come and use it for research. It will not be for lending. No one will be able to remove any books from the library itself, but there will be tables and chairs and a huge counter for people to come and sit and study during their vacation or during their trips, or if you're retired, you can come and move here and stay there every day. I don't care. Anybody who wants to help, we're going to take donations of books, and you can write them off, because this is going to be in a trust. This trust is just to take care of the library. There's not going to be any profit connected with the library. Everything else we do is going to be totally separate from the library. So you'll have to talk to your tax man about that if you are a taxpayer. And if you are, I suggest you start looking into that, because you shouldn't be. If you really understand the law, and if you got some guts. But for those of you who are taxpayers, that's one thing you want to think about. If you're not a taxpayer, if you just want to help out, we will take donations of any books, provided they are non-fiction. The older, the better. But we'll take modern books. Any books whatsoever that you would like to donate, we will write you out a receipt for the books, so that you can use that receipt in any way you want to. The books will go into the library. There will be a fund set up to take care of the library in perpetuity for all of us and all of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if you would like to help make it the best research library in the world, you can do that just by sending us books wherever you find them. I used to go into used bookstores, folks, and buy entire sections. And my wife used to pull her hair out and scream and stomp. But that's what I used to do, and sometimes I still do it. I'm not telling you to do that, but, you know, if you could afford it and build your own library, it would be wonderful for you and your family. If you could afford to send us some books to help increase the size of this library, we would be very appreciative, and everybody, whoever uses it in the future, will be appreciative also. Okay, folks, hope you're ready. Remember what to do if anyone ever jams this broadcast again. We're not going to take this crap anymore. We've been taking it for almost 2 years. We're not taking it anymore. We've served notice on them last night, and from now on, we're going to get them. So get out your notebooks, pen and paper. Whatever we don't finish on this tape tonight, we'll finish Monday night. Pay attention, folks.
The 1st Earth Battalion is the Army's place to dream. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Jim Channon, Earth 6, and I'd like to invite you to join a growing network of Army officers and others that are daring to think the unthinkable. Come join the quest. Chief of Staff, General Scheimeyer, recently said, "There is no fulfillment in leading American soldiers into combat while a nation still debates its own conscience, unsure of its goals, and unclear about its priorities." He also said, in the longer term, the successful future of our volunteer force must rest on an expanded national spirit within which the Army service is viewed as a meaningful and productive endeavor. The 1st Earth Battalion is a story of some officers who went in search of that expanded national spirit the Chief spoke about and looked for some new ways for the Army to be productive. And to their surprise and delight, they found both in a growing conspiracy just under the surface of tomorrow. The Army today performs without applause. Our country also is suffering from a missing sense of purpose. If you talk to any interested foreigners, they seem to be saying, "What are you waiting for, America? Lead us out of this mess. You have the system, you have the resources, and you have the historical mandate." Of course, we can sit around and wait for somebody to break the cycles of war, or we can reach into the future. Other responsible forces on the planet are reaching out. The Army must take its share of the response. To be sure, we've made progress. The news is dreary as usual. And yet, there's a growing conspiracy of folks who have faith that we're about to break through some fixed ways of thinking and some traditional ways of knowing to discover that we all must share the room and the resources as they exist on this spaceship Earth.
All people together, ooh, a planet for peace, with love as a motive, there can be no defeat. It's so easy to come alive with the sun in your eyes.
Love has never been organized in the world the way hate has, and it seems this century has been the best proof of that. The officers wondered what would happen if we organized to promote peace, not to prevent war, if we became proactive instead of reactive, a real ethical evolution. They wondered what would happen if force, as a concept, no longer carried with it required destruction known of armies, but rather projected its power in terms of the spirit, in terms of the will, and in terms of the heart.
A people together, a planet for peace, with love as a motive, there can be no defeat. You know it's easy to come alive, sun in your eyes.
Thought of all the soldiers lost in Vietnam. They tried to piece together the reasons for that war. They had trouble justifying what had been done. They further decided they would be sure of the reasons the next time they took their soldiers into battle. It would have to be something that could justify their work. It had to be done for the best ideals and the best beliefs a great nation could muster. Something you could die for.
I see a lady by the sun. I see her children.
The officer sensed three things about the American people. One, they were a people who wanted to feel good about themselves again. And they wanted to be a part of something better. Second, people were feeling a great disconnect with history. They wanted to know their roots and to have their destiny spelled out. The country seemed paralyzed, unable to live up to its own best ideals. Third, they also noted that there was a self-discovery process at work in the country. People were turned on to self-discovery, experiencing their environment for the first time, experiencing themselves for the first time. These hopes and aspirations constitute the new American frontier, a frontier that is growing quietly and subtly in small pockets throughout the nation and throughout the world. One officer made himself a silent prayer that he might find some clue as to how to evolve a productive concept of service for himself, for his army, and for his children.
Is there any to be found? I think that's so much, it's so profound.
This officer reported to his Army Human Dimensions think tank using his computer terminal. Task Force Delta, Colonel Malone, using my Silent 700 to record the essence of my trip through the mindscape in California. If the pioneer spirit is dead in America, somebody forgot to tell the 285 registered New Age groups doing social experimentation out here. My journey as an Aquarian warrior begins. The officer found those things in California that everyone expected. A joy in living with the outdoors and the technology of sport.
Living
the important clues. came to him, though,
dream
the clues of a new way of being,
of the way
or natural ways of existing,
the Almighty,
and a whole series
find our peace
of lessons on clear thinking,
like
of walking lightly on the earth, and paying attention to people and the special things that people were. California was truly a microcosm of the future world, and strange as it seems, the melting pot wasn't complete until 100,000 Iranians and 100,000 Vietnamese joined the mix. A crazy chain of world events would see that America now truly represented all of the major divisions of the people in the world. We are now ready. The officer went to the World Symposium on Humanities and other large collections of folks trying to find out how to improve themselves and improve their planet. In one of his reports, he said he was working the sign table at a New Age conference. He said, "I even saw an Army colonel talking about psychotronics." He said, "This crowd could use a little military organization, but their spirit is incredible. They really believe that their search will lead to something." He signed off. In these organizations, he noticed one peculiar thing. It was a tremendous diversity of talent that was allowed to coexist. And that approach, mathematicians together with theologians, old folks mixed with the young, East mixing with the West, had a wonderful human spirit as a binding factor. Spirit marshaled by people, anxious and dedicated and willing to try new things in the name of the earth. Come join the quest. "I don't know how to tell you this, but these bunch of crazies is absolutely positive that their collective skills can change the world for the better. That's their corporate ethic. What's the Army's corporate ethic? I'm not sure I know." His frequent reports came back to
the Army's
task force. He began to collect series of basic ideas and techniques from all that he visited. He continued to report this to his Army task force as he prepared himself to eventually share with them the bulk of what he knew. What he knew about the growing number of people who got together, searching, working, and exchanging something quiet inside themselves. One thing the officer was sure of, that he spent the rest of his life in service, and his sword would be serving something more noble, something more pure, and something reflecting the promise that he saw before him. The officer was really surprised to discover that the behavior he found in California was actually true of most really successful sports and athletic teams. That in fact teamwork had a lot to do with that same kind of natural technology he'd discovered. He found that seeing himself clearly as an individual was a solid stepping stone and a common progression for all the people he met. Personal evolution that enabled him to find out how better to serve and what he was capable of giving to others.
And love our brothers. Sisters. Yeah. And love.
groups were wrapped up in ritual, in ceremony, whether they came from a warrior ethic originally, a human ethic, or even a mercantile ethic. But the common binding factor was that sense of the human spirit, which liked to be free, liked to be celebrated, and needed to be used to make the planet better. That wonderful sense of freedom to be yourself, to be exactly who you need to be in order to make the best possible contribution to others.
I'm alone with...
Before his quarterly trip to Fort Knox, he sent a message to Colonel Malone. Need one evening at the Officers Club to initiate the members of your human dimensions think tank into the First Earth Battalion. Trust me, it won't hurt. Well, later. That was an important evening. The officer pulled together some team building techniques, some Eastern ideas, and a little solid prayer. And these things enabled that group to see the Army in terms of the planet, in terms of the spiritual evolution of all peoples. And at that moment, in some small way, in the United States Army, in mid-1979, the 1st Earth Battalion was born. Officer began to see all the lessons he'd learned from those experimental groups in terms of the soldiers that he knew and he cared about, in terms of their missions, in terms of the kind of training that they had labored on so long. The collected ideas spread, and a small network of soldiers in the United States Army began talking about the 1st Earth Battalion. Since then, the network has grown. It wasn't a real organization initially. It was a role-playing device that allowed soldiers to think the unthinkable, to reach out into the future and begin to toy with some very comfortable modifications to the Army as they knew it, some new ways to be, some new ways to serve, and some new ways for a soldier to gain the respect lost in questioning times.
Tangible substance that soon disappears.
They also began to taste a little history, and it became very clear that the folks who had originally designed this country had really done an unbelievably bold, imaginative, and creative thing. It was the first country in the history of mankind designed on spiritual principles and had really set a wonderful charter. It really wasn't that what was going on in California was so new. It was just that so much of what had originally been set up by our forefathers has just been forgotten, or appears to be forgotten by most of 20th century America. There was a vision in our founding fathers' ideas just as clear now as the message on the face of a dollar bill, the most widely communicated single piece of written literature in the world, saying before all who would inspect it, "In God we trust."
Our trouble relating to what's going down. Too few answers around. There's only one way to fight it.
The symbols were clear. The order of the ages was to be completed by the spiritual, mystical eye atop the pyramid. It was time for the spirit. It is time for the spirit.
Someday you got to believe in something more. I say, how could you believe in anything less? 'Cause anything less is just something less.
We're in a fantastic age. We are, at this moment, at a great point of United States Army is a force organized and educated and full of the right kind of great hearts and can provide a great impetus to this country and to the people of this planet. We can help lead this country and lead this world to its manifest destiny.
How do you believe in something more? I say, how could you believe anything less?
Joshua began writing and sketching a pamphlet, shown here quickly with the best of the captured ideas included. Dare to think the unthinkable, it said on the outside. It talked about ideas like the warrior monk with natural technology and tools. Uniforms would be important, but not uniformity. The idea that anyone's personality should be denied them was just abhorrent to any of the systems he'd studied. Fundamental ideas came from the studies that followed. The blending of mind, body, and spirit. A balance for all soldiers and all people. There's no reason why soldiers shouldn't have a chance to acquire that kind of balance, to give them an equal chance at personal evolution. The prime reason for life. From the Eastern philosophies, especially the martial arts, came the ideas of centering, grounding, and then blending. This triad can give strategy and tactics a new meaning. The battalion could pioneer in ecologically solvent communities, could rescue refugees, could thwart international hostage actions, and could do these things in the name of all peoples and all belief systems. From history, the ancient samurai contributed warrior ethics, learned especially about deprogramming soldiers to make them free of needs. Needs for status, make them free of their dependence on things, and to make them free of their dependence on lust. When you're not dependent, you're free.
Folks, I just want to break in here and make sure that you haven't missed a few things. Martial arts, task force Delta, warrior monks, Aquarian warriors, hostage situations, Task Force Delta, Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz. Keep listening. You might grow up one of these days. The triad, the eye above the pyramid.
An army of soldiers for me. I am willing to serve this good planet. I lay my life down at your feet.
Delta Force.
I am a soldier for peace. I lay my life down at your feet. It's time I'm a soldier for peace.
Was a small sample of the horizon of information and ideas that were pulled together in support of this American ideal of service. The young officer was very clear about the fact that he would spend as much time as necessary to align the values of his army with the evolving values of the people his army was to serve. Naturally, he got many questions about the so-called New Age. People wanted to know what they'd really done. It was very hard to show that because people technologies are pretty subtle. Subtle things never make the news. But these new approaches were changing opinion, opening minds, and changing hearts. He knew that the 1st Earth Battalion would need to do that also. Among other things, the Army had its responsibility to evolve. The Army, along with the rest of the planet, can develop the ethical evolution of force.
All across the land, they say the brotherhood of man is on the rise. These people say that they believe and that they've learned to know him well. That the faith he's plain to see, loving and quiet, yeah. Speaking to us, listen to the truth. Children of light.
The children of light, the sun, the light, Lucifer.
If that presentation makes you think that the folks in the First Earth Battalion are interested in saving the world, well, we'll accept that mission, unless you can come up with a more interesting one. The Hopi Indians had a story, an ancient legend, that it said that somehow when the planet was finally filled with humanity, things would be rough until the soldiers of the rainbow came along. Well, saving the world seems to us a lot more interesting than making plans to end it. We're very concerned with a couple of things in the First Earth Battalion. We found an awful lot about people technology and about personal evolution. We discovered that not too many people ask themselves the question, what is the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to do with this body and mind and spirit that I have while I'm alive? Some of the most refreshing ideas we have found in the martial arts, wherein we have a warrior's method of evolution, physical evolution, mental evolution, and finally spiritual evolution. Personal evolution is something we believe should be the province of every individual. And responsibility for personal evolution is a responsibility, of course, that a leader in our army must ultimately accept. In some circles, this is called transformational leadership, wherein the folks in charge take as a first responsibility a mission to allow those under them to achieve their own personal evolution. If in fact their bodies are healthy, they will be available for duty. If their minds are working, they'll take care of their own technical proficiency. And if their spirit's in shape, you'll have team cohesiveness as a byproduct. That's a concept we think makes a lot of sense. The other area that we're investigating and would love to have your ideas about has to do with how we perform as an army. If you look at the nature of warfare and conflict lately, we have situations like Cambodia, Nicaragua, Colombia, Iran, and Afghanistan. These are all sort of wars of national liberation. They involve the other people's spirit, their enthusiasm, and their will. They are not wars of the force of arms so much as they are wars of the spirit and wars of the will. And an interesting factor is they are most often propelled by a strange new weapon system, the weapon system we think will probably best characterize the 1980s, and that weapon system, my friends, is the television camera. Very often, the hostage situations and the conflicts we see now would never exist without television. By the same token, the solutions to those conflicts have often come as a result of what the television presented to the collective world at large. So we have sort of a combat of the collective conscience to deal with. And it seems to us that the army that acts in the most ethical manner, in this case, ends up in the long run to be the winner. So practicing ethical combat using television camera is a concept that we're playing with. Something has happened as a result of the recent conflicts in the world, and we think from our own Weltanschauung, the view of the world which is useful to us, that the reason for Vietnam and one of the reasons perhaps for Iran was that the world is coughing up the last representative peoples into the United States hopper that make us, in fact, a whole nation. We are now e pluribus unum. We are now from many one. The melting pot, so to speak, is more complete than ever. It may be a sign that we are now prepared to go on and execute the manifest destiny of our country and perhaps the world. We took a look at our roots in the 1st Earth Battalion, and I don't know what you know about the seal of the United States of America, but on one hand we have the eagle with an olive branch in one hand and arrows in the other, and the Latin for e pluribus unum. We find from many one and unity with diversity to be the hallmarks of the frontier, of the human frontier. On the other side of the dollar bill, incidentally the most communicated single piece of written literature in the world, you have a pyramid symbolizing structure. And at the top of the pyramid, what do we have but the spiritual eye? The Latin phrase underneath says, "This is the order of the ages." And at the top it says, "In this he is well pleased." The end of the development of society as we know it, symbolized by the spirit. We see a lot of indications that tell us it is a time of the spirit. But where does a warrior go to get his spiritual tools? Is there such a thing as a spiritual warrior? We have coined the prototype in the 1st Earth Battalion, the warrior monk, the precision of a trained soldier, but the dedication and spiritual ethics of a monk. We think that's the kind of warrior prototype the world needs right now. Another interesting thing is that when you go through the martial arts, for example, and other ancient disciplines, you find out that their end objective was not the development of the ability to strike somebody, or even the development of the ability to defend yourself. All of those things were designed to reduce fear so that you could, in fact, use your higher mind and, in fact, move toward a spiritual end. The objective of all the martial arts was, in fact, the development of the spirit. The nice news about all of that is that much of the classical training that Army officers and soldiers go through is helpful in that it allows us to do a lot of our daily work on automatic pilot, leaving those other levels of mind open to operate. We think there's an awful lot of promise in studying the levels of consciousness, which are now broken out very clearly, especially as they are related to functional levels of effectiveness. It turns out that somebody way up here on the spiritual ladder is also someone way up here who can handle a tactical operations center beautifully, mentally calm, serene like the black belt, able to handle lots of disparate information at the same time, able to soothe his workers, able to match priorities, match intelligence reports with fire support assets. The kind of leadership that we need in combat is developed by developing the ethical levels of consciousness, at the top of which we find the spirit. We've been operating with an ethic of duty, honor, country for quite a while now. It made infinitely good sense 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's still a workable ethic, but there's another one coming up that perhaps is a little higher. And that ethic is people and planet. People and planet. National boundaries are finally getting in the way of the way all peoples on this world are going to have to live and survive. the collective conscience of the world because of our mass communications means has outstripped the ability of governments to keep up. Now, what that means for all of us is we have to take more personal responsibility for our own evolution and the way we get along with others. And those of us in the 1st Earth Battalion feel that the Army needs to take a lot of responsibility for the ethical evolution of force and to ensure that every member that comes under our purview has a chance for his own personal evolution. But as I said before, the 1st Earth Battalion is a place to dream. And we invite you to join a growing network of officers and others that are daring to think the unthinkable. That's what the Earth Battalion is for. Come join the quest.
Well, folks, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. That was a lieutenant colonel of Delta Force conducting a briefing and a training film for young United States Army officers in the late 1970s, early 80s. Our tape is an old tape, and it sort of broke in places, and you'll have to excuse that. The picture on the tape is so bad that we cannot duplicate it, so we can't make it available to you. In fact, running off duplications of this tape might result in its total destruction, to tell you the truth. And it's too bad that you couldn't see the visuals. I would encourage you to seek out a copy of this film if you can find one anywhere. They're out there. It took us a long time to find one, and ours is not very good. But in the visuals, you see repeated visions of the sun, the rising sun, pyramids, eyes on top of pyramids, repeated references to Aquarian warriors, warrior monks, the martial arts. These officers reported to Task Force Delta. They spoke of the triad. They spoke of the pyramid within which is located the eye. The pyramid is called Delta. Ladies and gentlemen, Delta Force was organized just as he said. At least that's what was told to the public in order to remedy hostage situations and take care of international terrorism. The truth is this force is an arm of the emerging New World Order. It has agents out among the civilian population in a project called Project Trojan Horse. One of these agents publishes, ladies and gentlemen, Soldier of Fortune magazine. Another one travels around the country visiting patriot groups and changes his religion according to the religion of the group that he talks to. The whole purpose of Project Trojan Horse is to pinpoint the exact name and location of every patriot in this country who will resist the destruction of the national sovereignty of the United States of America, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. These men are liars and deceivers. And all of you swell-headed idiots out there who flock to Soldier of Fortune because it gives you some kind of lengthening between your legs, you're going to regret it someday. And I mean that sincerely. I would advise you people to wise up and do it quickly. You see, you're beginning now to understand that everything that I've been telling you all these years is absolutely 100% true. Now, I wonder when you're going to begin to help me to do something about it. I want you to think about that tonight and think about what you heard during this broadcast. I don't know if you can sleep. I don't do much sleeping nowadays, and that's why I seem a little irritable and impatient and frustrated sometimes. As we continue the process of your education, you will eventually discover that you are becoming the same. Good night, and God bless you all.
Oh,